Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey. Welcome, welcome. It's us. We're back in the studio.
Welcome.
Episode 54.
Fashion, fashion, fashion.
We need that air horn.
Chris just
got an air horn like app that you just push the button and it makes a sound.
That's
all I've heard the last. Record your own sounds. So a couple of fart sounds have gone through.
Oh.
Not actual farts, but the fart sound.
If you were so inclined.
I mean, yeah. That's new with me.
I think the first app that Dave got on his phone, because he had an iPhone before I did, the first app on the first iPhone he got was a fart app.
I mean,
we're not animals.
You know a punchline when you can see it. I mean,
it was great. Yeah. And it was like bomb detonation. I forget what the gist of it was, but it was great.
Yeah,
we had many good times.
One. And the like beep one. It's a lot.
It's a good time.
It's been a long couple of days.
Oh, man.
I interrupted you and I said whatever dumb thing I said. But
I was
54.
Also going to say something dumb. So there you go.
Guys, this is a dumb podcast we're doing.
Not smart.
I'm enjoying a piece of holiday toffee.
Yes. My friend Alicia gave us.
Leaning away from the microphone.
Yeah, it's crunchy and chewy all at the same time. So stay
perfect for sound recording.
Yeah.
But it's super even more perfect for all the ASMR enthusiasts.
Yes. Super appropriate. Your Merry Christmas, same ASMR subculture. We'll have to add that to like our tags or whatever.
Oh, so yeah. Find yeah.
Us.
Yeah. Our search engine optimization.
Yes. Yeah. SEO. Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
What's happening?
We're back. It's us.
What's happening?
I'll start.
With you. Yeah.
I'll start.
You.
I got my haircut.
Oh, yeah, it looks so great.
Yeah, I cut it all off.
I mean, you paid the professional to do it for you.
Yeah, I didn't do it myself.
You just, in the mirror, just like, snip,
snip, snip. Snip. Just hand my three-year-old the scissors. Go for it. Go nuts.
Margo, pass those.
Yeah.
Margo.
You learn how to use scissors, right?
Go nuts. She's a real Vidal Sassoon.
Yes.
I've always said that about her.
Mm-hmm. She did do a very strong brow today on
She on did. Yeah, Margo got into her, getting into the mic, into the makeup I let her play with, and she fully just put this the dark purple just on her eyebrows.
I mean, if
it
you can figure
great.
Out eyebrows young, I still don't know
it
how
was
to do
great.
Eyebrows.
Yeah, a statement brow for sure.
A statement brow. Margo, statement brow Shumka.
starting
look out, Anastasia.
Yeah.
Just wait till she starts doing it on Poppy.
Oh, God.
That's going to happen, you know.
Oh, for sure. I'm going to have my camera ready, and I will not stop it.
Please tell me you save all of your Instagram story videos.
Oh, yes. We save
Is there an
all
archive?
Of those. Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
we
the
save
gems.
Every single one. Yeah, I ain't like letting go of those.
Nope.
They're too good.
So
yeah, cut my hair. It was good. But
it looks nice.
Thinking about it for a while, so that'll be fun. I already feel better about it. It's only
it's
happened
like
a couple days ago.
Big decision.
Yeah, but it feels good. I was just, I was growing out my hair for so long, and then I was like, fuck it, it's so much work, and it takes so much work for it to look good, for it to be a way that I like it, that I never have time for. And then I'm just like, I spend all this time washing it, conditioning it, doing it, flat ironing it, whatever. And then like 3 days later, like washing it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then having to redo it all over. And I don't have time for that. Anybody got time for that? If I cut my hair short, it takes me maximum 15 minutes.
Yeah.
If I want to be like fancy and like do something as opposed to just like flat iron the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah. It's nice.
So I'm good. And then I gave him, my stylist, a picture of Kristen Stewart when she had this kind of haircut. Hers was a little bit more choppy than this one. Mine's a little bit more refined. And then a couple, today, Dave's like, you know, you look like one of those Vice News reporters. What's her name? Gianna something. I was like, that is literally the photograph I gave to my hairstylist. That exact woman.
Good
Her name
work.
Is Gianna Timoni. She's a reporter on Vice News, and she's got this marvelous short haircut. She always looks great. I literally had like three pictures of her that I showed.
Good job, Ian. Good job, Dave.
Yeah. Well, she's a rather attractive lady. She's filed away somewhere. Just, you know,
Dave.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm
just saying. Good job.
I'm not going to make you say what you were.
You know where I was going.
Yeah.
You know where I was going. She's not the only one. She's not the only one in there, and she's not Dave's. She's not only in Dave's. She's a very attractive lady who does very awesome work. So that was good. I'm happy.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
And then my other news in my house is that everyone's sick except
Yay.
Me. So the chances of me getting out unscathed are slim to none.
Zero.
I seem to always get sick last.
Well, yeah, you don't have time to get sick. You're the mom.
Yeah, I'm taking care of everybody else. Yeah. So it's one of these fun childhood diseases that I didn't know existed until you have kids. It's called hand, foot, and mouth disease, which sounds super exciting.
Gross.
And it's a super contagious viral thing.
Oh, I'm glad you told us about this now.
You're fine. You guys are fine.
Now that we've been hanging out.
Yes, and I put all the toys away. I was watching, and we wash your hands before you go, but I was also watching what you guys were touching, and in my mind, I'm like keeping a mental inventory. See, I put all the toys away, too, while you were there, so you're not touching all the stuff that they've been then putting in their mouths.
What does feet have to do with it?
It's this awesome thing where you develop a fever, and then 2 or 3 days later, you get a whole bunch of weird bruises and oozing sores all over your hands and feet and mouth. And if you're a baby, your diaper area.
Mm.
So the baby had one, and it's super contagious, and it happens all the time. Like, it's apparent, like, it's, and it's totally innocuous. Like, it's fine. There's no lasting effects. Right. It just goes through the cycle, and you are fine.
Couple of days.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if you do get the sores inside your mouth, which is entirely possible, it is super unbearable for a few days. And like literally all you can eat is popsicles because you just have like blisters inside your mouth.
Oh.
We are not there. Knock on wood. Mind you, Dave just had a fever yesterday. So we're going to see how that goes.
Knocking on wood.
So the baby had it. I'm like, oh, what's that weird mark on your chin? And then she had a bunch on her knees. And I was like, that's weird that it's on your mouth and your feet. Oh, fuck. And then I'm in her hands. God damn it. So...
That's disgusting.
And I told her, like, daycare. Like, I went in the next day, and I'm like, oh, yeah, so you might want to wipe everything.
Every surface.
She probably caught it here, but just so you know. And, of course, by the time the, like, sores arrive, it's, like, not contagious anymore.
Right.
Like, it's like, when you don't know you have it that you're the most contagious type of thing.
Yep.
So, yeah, so Dave had a fever yesterday, so that was fun. Margot had a fever 3 days ago, so that was fun. My baby may or may not have had a fever. I was oblivious to it. I didn't even notice. So that's really reflecting nicely on me. So I have a whole bunch of shit I need to do this week. So I might also be homesick this week. So we'll see how that goes.
Cool.
I'm just hope we're going away for Christmas. So I'm just happy we're getting it out of our, because it runs for like everything included, like 10 to 14 days.
Yeah, that's long.
It's a long time because you're like contagious right. Fever a couple days, and then 1 to 7 days worth of sores, which is like, thanks. Wait, 1 to 7 days. Thanks for narrowing it down. So here's hoping that we can, like, we leave on the 20th for my parents' place. So here's hoping we can just get it, let it run its course between now and then and not bring it, make everybody sick at my parents' house.
Yeah.
Wash your hands, everybody. Wash your hands.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
It's never enough. Just wash your hands. And buy a good hand moisturizer, because that's what I'm learning now that I'm washing my hands so much.
Oh, yeah.
Hands get real dry.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So that's,
well, that's lame to hear that.
It's exciting. Haircut. But then it's also, my children are lepers.
Yeah. Our house is a colony. Welcome.
A quarantine colony. And then I invite you guys over. Hi.
Hi. Well, I have some exciting news.
Mm.
I just pulled a hair out of my bra that's been stuck between my bra. Ugh. You know this happens?
Yep.
It's been in there for like an hour. I just got it out.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh,
I don't know if Evan can know how that is.
I used to get,
when I had more like, when I wore a different type of bra that was more like a cotton fabric, I would get dog hair.
Oh.
Like perpendicular. Yeah. And they just like stick in. And it was like woven into like the thing. And it would just like, what the fuck is inside my bra? And then I have to, like, every day before I put my bra on, I would have to lay it out and like pick out all the dog hairs.
Oh, well, that's
that feels good. And you know it's there, but you can't get at it.
I'm just touching my boobies.
Oh,
it feels real good.
Feels real nice.
Whew. Well, that's all it's doing with me. No, I'm just kidding. No, I we have a new quote unquote pet. We have a new living organism.
Oh, at in our homes.
His name is Bootsy, and he, I think it's a he. I mean, it's genderless, really. It's a ball of dough. It's a sourdough.
Oh, gotcha.
We started making a sourdough from scratch, which turns out is just flour and water.
And you just put it in a bowl and let it sit there.
And you just put it in a bowl and you have to feed it every day. That's the thing.
Okay.
So what do you feed it?
Sugar?
No, you take out whatever you're going to put back in. And so you're providing it with food.
Mm.
But all it is, if you take a quarter cup of the starter, you add a quarter cup of flour and a quarter cup of water, and it reacts.
Just does it itself.
And keeps going. But you have to do it every day for a few days. So we have had...
Create these weird cultures?
Yeah. So I think you have to do it for a few days. I don't know. Chris knows it all inside and out.
He's all over. He loves baking and bread and shit, doesn't
totally,
he?
Totally, yeah.
He's super into it.
Yeah, he makes bread all the time. And so Bootsy, we had our little baby Bootsies, our first little baby Bootsy biscuits on Thursday or Friday. They were so good. And it was the first experiment with Bootsy, and they were delicious. But now Chris is kind of getting a little bit better.
Yeah,
and he made the
bolder.
Most fucking delicious, just classic white crusty sourdough. That's all we ate for a few hours today. Just that
for sure.
Oh
yeah. They'll keep
was
you alive.
So fucking good.
Bread and butter have kept the human race alive for millennia.
Forever. Oh, it's so delicious.
Yeah.
So, but you have to feed it every day. So he's going away for a week for work. So I'm
no, it's on you.
He was away a couple days last week and he's like, you got to feed Boots. You got to get up. You got to feed Bootsy. We have the instructions written out.
The reminder on your phone.
Yeah. Feed Boots. Did you get Bootsy? You got to feed Bootsy. And you got to take some out and put some back in. He bought a little kitchen scale for it. So we'd have
so you can be really precise. Yeah.
Properly. It's hilarious.
Awesome.
And delicious. Oof, Bootsy.
There's a lot of stuff you can do with that.
He's a tasty little pet. I like him a lot. And he just lives on top of our fridge. And delicious.
Beautiful.
And not as hard as I thought. It's there's this weird sourdough. There's sourdough forums and stuff that he's reading up all on them. And
like he's bread all Reddit. Into
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Reddit.
Yeah. Reddit. Ah! Time. We've typed out Reddit. Nobody take it. Reddit. We got it right here.
pen penny.
Yeah. So that and the air horn app. That's what's been going on.
Good times.
At my house, pretty much. Although, Abby and you and I were joking last week about doing customer service phone calls.
Oh, God.
And we had a phone call a couple of weeks ago that was really, it was a lot. It was basically...
There was a lot of swearing before she picked up and a lot after, but she was entirely...
Me, I was the one doing the swearing.
You were entirely professional and wonderful and helpful while you were on the call, but... Before and after.
I'm out of practice on customer service. I don't have a lot of patience for it. I'm good at it in the moment, but I do not enjoy doing it anymore. And the joke was that this woman just asked, so what do I buy? What should I get? And I was like, oh, of course, this is your question. I got another one on Friday.
She called it. Her question is going to be, what do I buy? And then I hear Katie go, well, you know, the stripe is very nice. And the polka dot is also great. What do you like? What are you going to do with how are you going to wear it?
How tall are you? What kind of fabric do you like? What colors do you like? Yeah. Do you want shorts? Do you want pants? Do you want a shirt? What do you like? It was unbelievable. Same thing happened on Friday. I was in the office by myself. Got a customer service email. Call me. Have some questions. I was like, here we go. What do I buy?
This is it.
Same thing. It was sort of delightful.
It was laughable.
On
some
customer
level.
Service.
And then also not on some other levels.
It takes a certain kind of patience.
It's a certain beast. Yeah.
To be a customer service.
On the regular.
Yeah. But this guy was actually kind of delightful. He was looking for something for his wife for Christmas. And so was trying to do this on the sly. Clearly does not know how to shop online without his wife's supervision.
That's
so he's trying
endearing.
To
like, sure.
Yeah.
Just work through it. Let's
let's do
we're
this.
We're gonna get through this together. I forget what his name was, Grant or something. Okay, Grant.
We'll figure it
what
out.
What do you like? What does she like? Okay, dude, I can't actually do this for you. You have to go online. You're
he's like, call me and we'll put the call. Through.
I'm ready to buy it. I'm like, I actually can't do that.
I'm sorry.
And I don't want to. You just.
We have a whole thing set up for expressly that purpose.
It was pretty cute. He had no idea how to order anything
online.
He knew sort of what he wanted to get. He wanted to get something really nice and special for his wife.
Beautiful.
We got there. We got there in the end. But I fucking knew it. As soon as I saw the email, I was like, oh. Call me means I don't know what I'm doing.
Tell me what to do.
But I guess that's the season, right?
Yeah,
it's all happening right now. Anyway, I knew it.
You can spot him a mile away.
You can. Anyway, that's what's new with me. Not a whole lot. What's going on with you, Yvonne?
To jump off of your cooking, I've been watching so many cooking related shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Great Canadian Bake Off Bake Show is starting.
I tried to watch it today, bitch, and it was out of service on the CBC website.
Instagram wants me to watch it so
episode
bad.
One is not available, but episodes 2 through 5 are available.
What?
2 through 5?
I think so.
Okay.
Anyway. Instagram really wants me to watch The Great Canadian Bake Show.
Really bad.
It's lovely.
I bet.
I mean, Dan Levy.
It might be all the donuts and stuff you post on your Instagram.
That might have a connection. You might be right about
some
that.
Some algorithms picking up on that.
all the dough and the bread.
All the robots.
Yeah.
The robots. The robots know you.
Those bread bots.
This is bread.
What else have you been watching?
I've been watching the Mind of the Chef.
Oh, it's so great. Good.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's super boring, and then sometimes it's
the only one I liked. I started watching one. I was like, you're boring. And I was like, no matter what you do,
and sometimes
you
it's too many subtitles. Shit. I'm just like, ugh, subtitles. Yeah.
So I watched another day. The one, it was like this blonde female chef. She owns a restaurant called Prune in New York. And her story is really interesting. Her mother was a ballerina, and her father was a set designer.
Oh,
interesting.
For the Metropolitan Opera.
Some high achievers in this.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And like she like finished high school early and then moved to New York by herself and was like almost disowned by her family or something.
Jesus.
Ooh la la.
But
is that
then
the one
she like
Anthony Bourdain's.
Yeah, Anthony Bourdain's like the producer.
I'm in love with it.
He's not in it though.
No, but he does some narrations in it.
And he sometimes he's like a guest star and
Anyway, sorry.
But it was just like super interesting, like coming from someone who really cannot cook to save their life. Mm-hmm. I'm an awful cook. Like I can barely cook a fucking egg. It's just like amazing. All these people just do it like it's so like second nature.
I've cooked in kitchens for a long time. Like I worked at a cafeteria kitchen for years when I was in my 20s, basically for most of my 20s, I worked in this kitchen. And it just, like you say, it just becomes second nature. I was talking with you today about doing the dishes and how when you do when you're cooking something.
And you clean as you go.
You're used to being in the kitchen. Yeah, you clean as you go. That's a thing in restaurants. Clean as you go. And maintaining like a clean station is like a big part of being a good chef and a good cook and whatever. And like, bless him, my husband is not. He just doesn't
follow the same philosophy.
He's never worked in a kitchen the way that I have. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't like, you just use everything. You need a tool. You just pull it out of the drawer and you use it.
Put it down.
And just put it down where you need it. And it drives me crazy. Like doing the dishes after him is like, I love you. I love you, Chris.
And thank God you made this food.
But yeah, thank God you made this.
And I'm not hungry anymore because if I was hungry and had to deal with this.
Yeah. But yeah,
well,
you're
there
right.
You go.
It's a definite skill. And it's a learned
and
thing.
And practice.
It's so cool. She was there was a scene where she was running the egg station during brunch at her restaurant.
Oh my God.
And there was like only 6 people there's 6 people in the kitchen and there's only 30 seats at a time. So like they have to like really do it quickly.
Turnover.
And eggs are such a hard thing to cook.
Eggs?
Yeah. Gotta get them just right.
I'm really good at poaching eggs. I just nailed the technique.
Yeah. Got it?
You know what it is?
Is it the whirlpool?
No, fuck that whirlpool. That's a
because that has failed every single time I've tried
it. Yeah, you're going to fail unless you're a professional
chef.
The weird
silicone cups, even those are kind of bullshit.
Here's what you do. You get a pretty big, deep-ish, maybe 2 or 3 inches deep pan, like a frying pan, fill it with water to about an inch from the top, and add maybe 3 tablespoons of plain white vinegar. Maybe 4 tablespoons. 3 or 4.
Interesting.
Plain white vinegar. Get it up to the boil. And when it starts to like really start boiling, turn it down to like medium high, like between
in the middle.
Put it to like the 3 o'clock on your dial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And don't crack your eggs directly into the water. Crack them into a little cup and then gently and pour them in. After they start to cook a little bit, take a spatula and slip them off the bottom, unstick them from the bottom really gently. And then you can kind of flip them over and then they'll cook. And then just get a slotted spoon, dry them out really nice. Egg. That's
good to know.
That's the Katie Garnham secret that I learned from Miss Nancy Garnham, who's the poached egg queen.
Interesting.
Who I think learned it from Christine Betty Novak, who's the ultimate
super queen. Yes, empress.
Yeah.
Well, good to know. I can imagine, like, yeah, working a brunch shift and having to cook all the eggs.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's a nightmare.
It's crazy.
Forget it. It's nuts. Can you imagine being a short order cook, like in a short order restaurant?
Churning shit just out like all
flipping,
the time.
Like, standing in front
flipping
of a grill.
Fried eggs.
Crazy. No. You scramble them. If you're making a meal, you get scrambled.
Omelets for everyone.
We were at breakfast once, I forget where we were, a couple of days ago. And it was like, your egg options are flipped or not flipped. That's all we're going to do.
That's
it. You get it flipped or you don't. That's it. And I was like, I respect that, actually.
That's fine.
I am
entirely legit.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
It was good. It was really good.
Oh, that's too funny. Yeah, I was hit or miss with that show. Like, there was some, like, there was a Japanese-American guy who, like, again, went against his family. Like, his family didn't want him to be a chef. Mm-hmm. And then there was, like, a French lady who was working in the States. And then there's, like, the weird Danish guy in Copenhagen who has that, like, fucking crazy-ass restaurant that, like, invented farm-to-table and, like, $1,000+ per meal and shit. And you have to wait 5 years for a reservation. That shit's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the weird, like... What do they call it? Like, would they do like weird experiment, a molecular gastronomy?
Yeah.
Where they do the weird like foams and vapors and like weird shit. Where there's like weird science things. And then you eat it.
Do you guys have French
fries? Serve it in a balloon that pops and then the smoke falls onto it or whatever. Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, it's
insane. Can I get fries with that and a Diet Coke,
and
please?
Macaroni and cheese.
That's what I want.
You have chicken strips.
Yeah. That would be fine with me.
Fine.
I don't need a foam. I don't even know what I'm saying, but I don't need that shit.
I don't know. I always think with shit like that, not to totally take over Evan's story. Which
I really have nothing more than to say. I've been watching.
Okay, but I don't feel so bad. I always, with shit like that, I always wonder, like, every single meal or every single course has to have a very specific presentation. So, like, where do you keep all the bowls? Like, every single thing has its own bowl, plate, container, display. Like, that takes up a lot of space.
Yeah, where do they keep the dishes in a restaurant?
Yeah, I guess and then they switch the menu, so then they constantly need new...
But if there's only 30 people...
Blogs or whatever the fuck they're serving it on.
Yeah, there's only room for 30 people in your restaurant. We really only need 35
plates.
That's
the stuff that I'm thinking about. Like, where do you get these weird bowls from?
They get have this. The stoneware is made by hand in Germany from ancient white pebble stone beaches ground into stoneware and then hand kiln fired.
Glazed, yes.
Then $98.
Yeah. Anyway.
A plate.
That's what I think about.
No, that's fair. There's
like, where do they keep all the plates?
There was an episode.
Excuse me, waiter. Where do you keep all the plates?
Is this reusable? Or are you just like throw it away?
Has this ever been used?
It's got a weird like gel on it now. You made these weird like egg things on it.
You made a foam.
Yeah. Is this the first time a foam has been
reusable?
On here? Anyway. It's a good time. The chef's too, or whatever. What do you call it? Not chef's
table.
Mind of chef.
Mind of chef.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah,
that's the Netflix one, right? And the chef's table is another one. That's also maybe I'm conflating the two as well.
They're
I've watched both of those.
Really, the only thing that differs is like the tone.
Yeah,
you know, and one like Mind of the Chef is like documentary style, and then I was watching the Great British Family Cooking Show or something.
Oh sure.
So it's like a bunch of families need to do like family cooking, and like that's the whole.
Oh,
point
that's
kind of
cool.
So, yeah,
they got to work together.
And, like some people have taken like really intense cooking classes, and other people are just like
grandma's recipe, the mom and the kids.
Like, yeah, and like using like family recipes, and yeah, That's really cool.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
And they do everything. They do like roasts, fish and chips, Sunday breakfast.
Sure, all the traditional.
All of the puddings.
Meals you'd need.
They say.
Oh, the puddings.
Mm-hmm. Hundreds of puddings that are not pudding.
No, just a dessert.
None of them are pudding.
Not at all a pudding.
No. I've never understood that. It's a weird one.
Mm. I mean, I'm going to eat it.
I mean, just don't call it a pudding. Call it a cake.
Call it whatever.
Call it dessert. That's what it is.
Mind you, they also call it dinner tea, so what do we know?
I don't know.
They call it tea?
Do you.
Yes. A lot of Brits call dinner tea.
What's supper?
Like an early, like
well,
a...
Well, I forget how it goes. Lunch is dinner and tea is supper. Like there's some differentiation there. Like they don't necessarily call lunch lunch.
I don't know. You guys do you. If it works for you and the queen.
That sounds like something that's left over from aristocracy.
Yeah. I remember when I was babysitting.
Oh, talk about Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She wore a Canadian designer.
She did.
When she was announced her thingamabob.
Now we have to wait and see who's going to do the dress.
Oh, who's that going to be? So and I didn't know, previously married.
Yeah.
I didn't know
Very
that
interesting.
How scandalous.
Yeah. Mm. An American, a black American divorcee is going to be part of the royal family.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. Considering what they did to poor Wallace.
I was going
to
say, 1936, what's going to happen? Or whatever it was, 33 or whatever it was.
Yeah, time
I'd love it
changed.
If she wore a Schiaparelli dress for her wedding.
Say, fuck you.
That'd be a move.
That would be a move.
That would be it? Sartorial shade.
That would be it. Oh, good heavens.
Pearl clutching.
Oh. Sorry to all our UK listeners. We love you. Blaspheming. I am sorry.
The crown is starting next week. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be great, guys.
Mm.
I want the sister to have her own show.
Seriously.
So great.
Oh, good job, Margaret. Keep it up.
Anyway. Margaret. We should probably talk about what we were here to talk
about. Yeah, we haven't even come even close to like any sort of
a
segue.
This is a fashion podcast, right?
Like half an hour in.
Scalparelli, like
yeah, there we
30
go.
Seconds ago.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's all right.
We decided this week to talk about counterfeits and black market stuff because we haven't touched on that before and it can be a very interesting topic. And
guess what? It's a real bummer, turns out.
Yeah. And it's only getting bigger.
Bigger and worse and more
complicated. Awful. And yeah. People are making more money in more nefarious ways. Yes.
We've just taken it upon ourselves to reveal the scaly, disgusting, fermented, boiling underbelly of the fashion industry.
Yes. this is not a good side of a flattering.
I was like, ooh, this will be interesting. And then I started doing some
reading.
And I'm like, oh, this is the worst. Yeah. This is the worst thing.
Well, it got me started because I have owned many black market knockoffs in the past. I haven't in many years. But I saw on some like local Facebook buy and sell page, somebody had a pair of Yeezy Boosts, the sneakers, for sale and called them, quote, replicas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never heard that particular word associated with it. I'd always heard like something a little bit more derogatory, a knockoff, a copy, or what like something. But this is like a replica is almost flattering.
Yeah, right?
Right? It's your mind. You like it so much, you're just going to copy it because it's so great. And you're not doing anything wrong. It's just a replica. You're just copying what they're doing.
Yeah.
Sounds like a word borrowed from the art world, like a replica of a Monet painting.
So it sounds, I'm just like, bitch, please, you bought these out of some fucking band. Like some weird website from China. Like... Yeah, and they were still charging like 100 and something bucks for them. I'm like, the real shoes are only 300 and something. Like, they're not even like crazy. It's not like you're ripping off $1,000 sneakers. Like, these aren't even that expensive in the big grand scheme of things. They're just limited edition, I guess, or whatever, limited quantities. But that got me thinking. And then I have upstairs in my kitchen, and I've had it for years. It's like a box you put Kleenex in. It's got a zipper around the top and a hole in the middle. Yeah. But it's the white Murakami collaboration from Louis Vuitton.
Yep.
Pretty sure that's not authentic. My dad bought it in a weird mall in Ho Chi Minh City. But I love it. I guarantee that's not a thing Louis Vuitton makes.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. I think I have one little tiny makeup bag that I got in Seoul, Korea, 10 years ago. that is an Hermes knockoff, but I didn't even know that.
At the time.
I didn't know that the H meant Hermes and what even Hermes really was. Like, I didn't know anything about it, really.
Yeah.
But that's about it, really.
Yeah.
But I don't buy anything. I mean, I'm a snob when it comes to buying stuff, so.
And I know, Evan, you're anti-knockoffs.
I don't think I have anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just have that one.
I think the closest thing I have is like...
Mind you, my parents, like, lived and traveled in Asia a lot right when it was super exploding. And, like, you could, like, and you go into, like, Bangkok, there's giant malls, there's entire floors of huge malls with nothing but knockoffs all the time. And a bunch of different qualities and price points and everything. And I would go to town before I knew better. And now I know better, so I do better.
Well, that was like the thing that was like the crux of all the articles that I read about this topic was like, it all comes down to, like we've said again and again and again, educating the consumer and being a better consumer.
Yes.
Because if you know what you're buying.
And more transparency from the brands too, letting you know to some extent. Like, this is what makes a good one, like, a real one real.
Yes, but it's also up to, I think in a lot of, you're right, but I think it's also up to the consumer to care to find that information.
Yes, absolutely.
And look,
and to be more discerning.
Yeah, you're looking at how much it costs and it looks like this and it has a logo on it. Well, I don't care if it's real or not. It looks fucking cool as shit and I'm going to buy it.
There was a story recently that I just saw it on the news, and it was Canada Goose jackets, those big, I don't know, if you don't live in a cold climate, you don't know what they are. We don't really have them here. But they can be between $700 and $1,500. Easy. They have fur-trimmed hoods. They're like super, they're good to like minus 50 or something. Like, they're fully legit jackets. They're expensive as fuck. And then somebody was having a website where they were selling for like $280. But the website was Canada N Goose. So they just slipped that little N in, but everything else looked
legit.
I mean, not, and then they had a guy from like the Better Business Bureau talking about like, click around on the website. Do all the links follow through? Is there a contact information? Is there an address on there? Like,
is the spelling correct?
Yeah, just look a little deeper than just that. And also look at the fucking URL.
Yeah.
If it's not the real URL.
There's lots
of
flags.
But if you weren't paying attention, you just say, $280. Sweet. Sign me up.
Well, there's another thing that I learned about all of this stuff is like lots of times people are just because online business has become so big and it's made this so prevalent. Not that it wasn't prevalent before, but it's made it really, really hard to track.
Yeah.
Really hard to trace. Really hard for customs and border agencies to even see it because it's not goods that are coming in a shipping container anymore. It's one tiny piece at a time.
Yeah.
Coming over a million times to a million different addresses that are impossible to track. It's exponentially more difficult with online shopping. But now I heard this thing that people are like, well, we'll build a nice looking website that looks legit and we'll just take your money. There's no actual product anymore. We're just going to take your money and
we're not even selling you a fake.
Yeah. We're selling you a fake picture. Fake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're just going to take your money, your credit card information.
And then fuck off.
And then see ya.
Yeah.
So basically, just do better. You just have to do better. But we should probably talk about like why it is so bad, because I think there's a lot of, you know, misunderstanding about like, who cares? There's no, this is like a victimless crime essentially. But it turns out everybody is a victim in this, except for the guy who's directly making money off of you, who's probably some factory owner or the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many direct, one degree lines between
two giant criminal
and human trafficking and the drug trade and
money laundering.
Yeah, money laundering. Mafias are ditching guns and drugs
for fake shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's so much money in it and it's that much easier.
And it's impossible to trace.
Yeah. But it's easier to acquire, it's easier to disseminate, it's easier to get money for it because it's, quote, legit. Like, you just send me a PayPal.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through some weird, like, briefcase full of money.
Yeah, there's no
weird Cayman Island bank.
Cash anymore. Yeah. The other thing that I thought was really interesting about all of this is if you need, like, a succinct example of how this is fucked up, the Charlie Hebdo massacre in 20 14, 15?
Yeah.
15 maybe? I forget when it was. Anyway, Google it. It's there somewhere. I can't remember what the dates were. The guys who carried that out who were linked to ISIS and Al-Qaeda and whatever, they funded the purchase of their guns and their rocket launchers by selling counterfeit goods.
Oh my
that's
God.
That's a proven...
Sure.
That's the direction that's going. So when you buy something that's counterfeit, you're putting money into the hands of people who want to buy
ISIS.
You.
To ISIS.
To ISIS. Like literal
incarnate on this
literally
planet.
That's the literal word literally in the way that literally is supposed to be used.
Yeah.
When you buy shit that is not real, you're supporting human trafficking, you're supporting drugs.
Nice people don't counterfeit. You know, they're not upstanding citizens who are running these giant international multi-level
criminal organizations.
Yeah, it's like, not some like mom and pop operation.
Yeah.
Like the fashion and their kids supply chain is complicated enough.
Yeah.
It's like people don't get into this for no reason.
Yeah.
Because like, the opportunity just falls because,
just
in their
because
lap.
Just because it's easy to do and it's an easy way to make money.
Yeah. They're criminals. So you can have I should tell everybody where I got a lot of this information. There's a really good article called Drugs, Guns, and Fake Kicks Inside the Counterfeit Economy. And
oh, I read that one. It was a Complex.
Oh, did you? On Complex.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good one. Like the tagline of this article kind of summed up the whole thing pretty well. And it was counterfeit designer clothing is a $1 trillion business. Trillion.
Put the T.
$1 trillion business that relies on consumers' thirst for bargain shopping to line the pockets of terrorists, drug dealers, and human traffickers.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the most
succinct
kind of definition of what that is.
Yeah.
But the thing that's crazy that I was reading about was you can have a factory that is making legit whatever, Chanel bags, whatever it is, clothes, sunglasses,
Cartier watches, whatever.
And directly next door, they'll be making the exact same thing with the exact same specs using way shittier materials.
Sure.
Using
fabrication techniques.
Way different techniques. Using way younger, cheaper
labor.
Employees.
Yeah.
Way cheaper labor.
Who aren't
lots
unionized.
Of times are children.
Yeah.
And they don't, because this isn't going anywhere legitimate, they don't have to worry about safety concerns. They're not worried
There's
about
no
where
paper
the
trail.
Fire extinguishers are. They're not worried about the chemicals on the materials that they're using being harmful to both the people who are making it and the people who are going to end up with it at the end.
Yeah.
They're not worried about any of it. Even if you look at just the safety of the people who are making and then ending up with these garments or bags or sunglasses or whatever, there's zero regulation because it's illegitimate. There's nothing legitimate about it. So they don't fucking care. They'll cut the corners wherever they can to make a buck. That's the whole point. So it's, and then, of course, it's impossible to trace.
Yeah, because there's no paper trail. There's nothing. They're not filing paperwork. They're not working for, licenses or following international protocols or, having contracts with people.
And like you're saying, Evan, like even just a normal fashion, like
supply chain
is...
It's a web of...
There's so many holes. There's
like
so many opportunities.
Were unaware that their garments were being made at the Rana Plaza.
Yeah, they didn't even know.
They didn't know. I mean, some of them, you got to know.
Some of them probably definitely knew.
Probably knew. Somewhere along the line, someone knew.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, you have a contract with one factory owner. He owns a second factory.
Yeah.
And you think he's working at the one factory, but he's working other people. He's working kids and ladies escape from the sex trafficking industry.
Oh, yeah. Or he's cutting a deal with this guy over here.
Yeah, his cousin or whatever, some other guy.
Over there.
Yeah. And sometimes it's entirely just copied with shitty materials. But then even, I was reading that even like, say, Burberry orders 10,000 coats. They make an extra 2,000.
Yeah.
And they sell those.
Of course.
So they're on the one. They're also covering their tracks that way because they fulfilled their order and everything looks great.
Yeah, but what's the problem?
Yeah, what's the problem?
The other thing too is like there's this argument or this, I guess there's this attitude about when you're buying something like a Chanel bag or a Burberry bag that's fake. It's like, well, fuck them. They're a huge company. They don't need to be charging this much.
They don't need my money.
They don't need my money. Except that. That's like that the brand losing out on the money that would be made on the sale of a legitimate item doesn't just hit their bottom line, which fine, you can support them or not. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever.
You could argue that if you're buying a thing with their logo on it, you're supporting them regardless of where the money is actually going.
Mm.
Yeah.
As far as logos go, which was a huge part of this, which was a big part of why it grew and grew and grew, is because the logo thing became a huge trend in the 90s.
Yeah, and why Burberry stopped making plaid.
Yeah.
We talked about it on previous episodes. Yeah. They just stopped making the plaid because everybody was ripping it off.
So it's not just them who are losing profits and they're losing their sort of intellectual property because it's being stolen and made illegitimately.
Sure, and other people have monetized it.
Yeah. It's that those companies pay taxes. And if they're losing out on the money that is being put elsewhere because it's not being purchased legitimately, they pay taxes on what they do make. So if they're losing money, then you think fucking gangsters and whoever else are paying taxes? They're not paying taxes. That's how you catch gangsters.
Or like paying their employees for maternity leave and benefits and vacation pay and like treating their employees nicely and, you know, making sure that everything, all their bases are covered that way. Yeah.
And so it's not just them who are like, oh, this big company, boo-hoo-hoo. There's a little bit more to it. And you have to sort of think a little bit farther beyond that one little thing.
Yeah. And you have to remember, too, like, just because a lot of times there is an inflation of prices for branding and, you know, because it has Chanel written on it or Louis Vuitton. But, like, they don't pull their prices out of thin air.
Yeah.
Like, you might think that $2,000 is super overpriced for a bag, but if you actually look into what it costs to make that bag, they are not making a ton of money on that bag.
Yeah.
Like, they are paying what it's worth.
Yeah, why do you think they license all of their perfumes and all that other shit? Mm-hmm. Go listen to the licensing episode. That's where they're making their money. They're not making a 45% to 70% margin on a Birkin bag.
No, it costs $20,000 because it's like it costs $20,000. Because it's some of the finest craftsmanship in the history of human existence.
By paying craftsmen.
Yes.
Not some 9-year-old and, you know, who knows where.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought was fucking crazy and terrifying, talking about like the safety issues. It's not just like where the fire extinguishers are and maternity leave and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
It's like if you buy a knockoff pair of Prada sunglasses, they're probably not UV protection.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting a quality garment.
Yeah. I was reading about like
getting something
weird
quality.
Radioactive metals in watches and stuff, and like leather goods that haven't had all the chemicals properly washed off. So as you are using and touching your leather, even if it is real leather, you're getting these fucked up weird tanning chemicals inside of you.
You're getting a weird rash.
Yeah.
Maybe it's from your shitty
weird cancer growing inside of you.
Yeah. Ooh. The other thing that I thought was fucking crazy, that's a little bit sideways from the fashion side of things, but there are counterfeit everything.
Yeah.
The one that came up a lot that in what I found was brake pads.
Well, for crying out loud.
Yeah. And prescription medication.
Yeah. I read about the prescription ones too.
That blows my mind.
You don't know what it's cut with or made with or where it comes from or,
yeah. That is crazy to me.
Something like, so crucial to like survival and like you existing on this planet in one piece. As a functioning human being.
It's like, you know what? I could go to the drugstore and get this life-saving medication. Or I could go to this guy who has a van.
Yeah.
He's got some. He's got the same bottle. It looks the same. I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's chalk. Who knows? Like, why would you? It just blows my mind that came up that many times in the, you know, 4 or 5 articles that I read today. I was like, this is a safety concern on top of, you know, not wanting to like, you know, pay a lot of money for this because boohoo. It's like, no.
I don't know how much of it was specifically directed at the States, but also just a testament to the horrific state of healthcare in the States.
Ugh.
Where you literally, a lot of people don't have a choice.
Yeah.
They cannot pay $600 a month for a prescription, so they have to find other ways to, quote, get their, quote, drugs, because I'm going to use that term loosely, because it may or may not be what you're getting. Or all the weird, like, we're getting super off topic. All the weird opiate overdoses and stuff that are having from weird fucking Chinese off-brand fentanyl and stuff that they don't know how strong it is or what it's mixed with or how much to use or where it comes, or, you know, like there's so many variables that are unknown with this shit. And, you know, up to 1,500 people die a year in Vancouver alone.
Guys, just do better.
Ugh.
If
everybody just do better.
Oh, and I know
America, do better.
And I know it's so tempting. And I was reading, I think, in another article, I forget where it was from, maybe High Snobiety, about like what, how this business isn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's only growing. In 2007, it was $250 billion worldwide. So that's 1.8% of global imports in general were counterfeit goods.
Oh.
I think even just in the fashion industry, this isn't even other things. And then in 2013, it was 461, which is almost double billion,
mm-hmm.
which is 2.5%, which is the GDP of Austria, a whole fucking country, in just fashion.
Gross.
Fucking sunglasses and sneakers and jeans and
watches.
What else? Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it's only getting bigger and... pull up this.
I was curious about like which companies were the biggest. So Nike is the number one, is the most ripped. Excuse me, the most ripped off, and Ray-Ban, Rolex, and Louis Vuitton are the next three. Mm. I don't know if it is in that order.
Sure,
but I know those are the top four. Or whatever. Yeah, Nike, Ray-Ban, Rolex, and Louis Vuitton. And the irony of Louis Vuitton is that he designed that logo specifically in like 1868,
whatever
or something.
It was.
I wrote
it
down somewhere. And he deliberately designed that monogram and those little motif, those little sort
flowers
of flowers
or whatever they are.
Like a fleur-de-lis, but like the little
it's
flower
a spade
things.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Mm.
He designed that specifically to curb counterfeit stuff that was happening way back then.
Sure, when he was just making trunks or whatever back
and
in the day.
And now it's
the most ripped
one
off.
Of the top four most ripped off things. But I did think of this other thing that was quite interesting about how you can spot a fake Louis Vuitton. And they have a mandate that the monogram, the LV, will never be stitched over.
Aha.
It will never be over a fold, and it'll never have like a rivet or something.
Sure.
It basically won't be covered.
Covered.
Or altered.
And they're
or
all symmetrical.
Covered.
So if you have a bag that's a Louis Vuitton and there's a stitch line over it, like on your thing upstairs, you could check.
There's probably a bunch.
But that was, I was like, oh, that's really interesting that like Louis Vuitton as a company has that mandated that.
That's how
monogram.
They're going to try to curb this.
Yeah, so you can spot it. The problem is getting people to care.
And yet, how many people know about that?
Well, like me.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, because you did a bunch of research.
I read it on a thing somewhere.
Yeah, you took the time to do
who knows
research.
If it's even true. It could have been a counterfeit blog that I read.
Oh, my God.
The Matrix.
We're screwed. Oh, man. So, yeah, I read this quote. I think this was the one from High Snobiety about... why it isn't going anywhere and why people want it and why people, I mean, first wage disparity and economic disparities is another motivator because there's a lot of people who can afford it, but there's a fuckload of people who can't and that gap is only getting bigger, but you still want the cool kicks and you still want the cool sunglasses. So this is a quote that says, we crave the validation of other people. So when we spot somebody wearing knockoffs on the street, that actually inflates the brand's prestige because it signals to us that we're not the only ones lusting after a certain label of product, which makes it all the more appealing. But there's a tipping point, of course. It's unclear where that is. After all, Louis Vuitton, Gucci, and the like aren't doing half bad despite the abundance of cheap imitations out there.
See, that's what I was
saying.
So is
this thing eating its own head?
Yeah.
Kind of,
rather,
right?
But they're benefiting because it's free advertising.
Yeah.
On some level.
I don't think it's the snake's eating its own head. I think it would be more like the human being is like vomiting and eating and dying and then coming back to life and then eating the vomit and then living and like it
and
just like
dying.
Kind of like
it's
and then,
a complicated
it's like a
metaphor. Yeah,
it's like a phoenix type deal.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
but barf, not fire
and death.
No.
yeah. So like, it's super fucked up that culture of capitalism and materialism is there and that's not going anywhere and both ends of it, the legitimate and the counterfeit, are profiting because of it and off of each other and because of each other, because one without the other would not exist. If the reals didn't exist, the fakes wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
And the opposite.
Here's another thing that on that same point and talking about online shopping and how crazy this is, I was reading about Amazon and eBay and Alibaba.
Oh, Alibaba. And
Alibaba is... basically Chinese.
Main offender,
yeah.
eBay or whatever. Or Amazon. Chinese Amazon?
Well, it's basically Chinese Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alibaba. So all three of these companies apparently have these, you know, things, these mechanisms in place to curb that kind of illegal activity because obviously they have to say that because it's illegal.
You have to cover
who knows how much work you're actually doing. But places like eBay are so crazy because the money that eBay makes is on transaction fees. It's not on the product. So there is zero incentive for them to stop selling anything because they're not making money on the thing that's selling. They're making on the money on the
you
selling
posting
of
a picture
thing.
Or whatever. Yeah, whatever, using their platform to.
So they're like, yeah,
money.
We're looking into it, and you have to like, you know, remove things specifically.
Yeah.
And individually, but they don't give a shit. Why they're making they're just lining their pockets on transaction fees. They don't give a shit if you're selling a crocodile or if you're selling a fucking, you know, curtain rod. Who gives a shit? They don't care.
Counterfeit curtain rods, it's a problem.
I don't want to see a counterfeit crocodile. This is a lizard. This isn't a crocodile. Where's my gecko? And yeah, so there's no incentive. And it's also like,
and shopping online makes hiding and camouflaging, because like you see a picture of a real,
it's really
your handbag
to make it look fake,
and that
I mean
is,
to look real,
and that is not what you get.
Yeah,
if you get anything at all.
There are so many instances where people order something online, especially from an Alibaba or something, like an evening gown, and then they get it in the mail and it's completely
nothing.
Different. It's
yeah.
Like,
oh, my favorite is when people buy furniture online and they don't look at the dimensions and they order it and it's like a dollhouse. It's like the tiny, teeny, tiny.
It's full on like Spinal Tap. They make Stonehenge, but they make it inches
so
instead of feet.
Good. I love it. And people are like, what the hell is this? They spent $200 on a coffee table and it's 2 inches tall. I love it. There's a whole bunch of examples. It's so good. Guys, do better. That's the problem. Everybody
pay attention.
Better.
Yeah.
Look at where your money is going. Don't just blindly look at the cost.
Well,
because
back in the day, like you would, like if you're in New York City, just think of that Sex and the City episode where they go down to Canal Street and Samantha wants a purse. And she has to go down and know a guy who knows a person who knows the password to go upstairs in the specific shop and go blah, 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 blah. And know all this stuff. Whereas now you just do it from your couch.
No problem. And there's no shame about it. There's no like...
No one needs to know.
Stigma, yeah. And for all anybody
Or you
knows,
can own it and then nobody cares.
Yeah, and who cares?
Yeah.
Ugh. But yeah, you guys. It's
Do better.
Just mafia, criminal, you know, sex, trade, human trafficking, drug
Environmental
lord.
Disasters.
That's the other thing, is a whole environmental thing we didn't even touch on.
Yeah.
No one gives a shit about environmental concerns in a factory.
All the shit made of weird plastic
cookies.
Now. Yeah.
No one cares. It all comes in a shitty plastic.
Yeah, unregulated tanning operations. Yeah. And
it's a $1 trillion industry.
Oh,
I just
man.
Need to go home and watch your fucking cooking show, man.
Yeah, I there know. You go. Go watch somebody make a tort.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, oh, this will be a really interesting conversation. And then I was like, oh, this is the worst thing in the world.
Oh, it's terrible on so many levels.
On so many levels.
But I found a couple examples of what some brands are doing to counteract it.
Go on.
And these are people like... that are super high end that have the resources and the, you know, budgets to do this sort of thing. And this is actually, it's as simple as Hermes uses specific cotton thread that's coated in a specific beeswax that no one else gets.
Yeah.
And they do not share their supply chain. And it does not look or feel like any of the synthetic threads that any other knockoffs would use. So that's like pretty basic. But then things like Ferragamo inserts in their fabrication little radio frequency microchips in every item, in their shoes and in their purses.
I think it's their left shoes.
Yes.
Yeah, I read this.
That has RDIF, whatever the chip.
RFID.
RFID, that's what it is. Thank you very much. I had the letters just in the wrong order. That
Ferd?
Has
is it Ferd?
Ferd?
Radio frequency identification.
Yeah. Device. And they have a registration number. They have a fabrication date. They have a fabrication location. Sometimes I bet they even have like the person who made it. Like Giancarlo made these ones or whatever. And they're inside the fabrication of the shoe and you would have to take the shoe apart to do it. Or I know a lot of other brands like Chanel has very rigorous... like product registration and certificates of authentication. And it's not just like a piece of paper with a fucking stamp on it. Like, no. Like there is a computer database.
And like a hologram.
In with
shit,
a hologram sticker that is, again, a totally unique fabrication that only they know. And like you can go, because I've seen on another buy and sell things like, I got the receipt. I'm like, well, bitch, yeah, anybody can make a fucking receipt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. whatever. Receipts don't mean shit. But if you have the registration number, and let's say, there's been a couple times where I've seen legitimate things just being resold, like a Chanel purse or whatever, or an Hermes scarf or something, and they said, I will go to the Hermes store with you, and look it up and say, yes, this is legit. She bought it, or someone bought it at X and Y date, whatever, and it's legit. And you can go, and a person in Vancouver can check their Parisian database immediately. So it's like, it's the really cool opportunity for fashion brands to really modernize and really utilize technology and advancements and that sort of thing to their advantage, because sure as shit, the countervenders are using it to their advantage too, to make better copies.
Yeah.
Right. And it's going to have to change. And I'm assuming sooner or later, they will also figure out how to make these chips and put them. There'll be some sort of other process they're going to have to go through and improve on it. But I thought, that was really interesting that they were doing that. And then also, there's becoming more and more legal battles that are successful. Alexander Wang got $90 million.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because he took a bunch of websites.
One of the websites was literally called www.fakealexanderwangs.com.
Shameless. Just fake shameless. Wangs. So he went to court, and good for him, and he's in a big enough position and he could afford a huge drawn out legal case. But he got $90 million. And then in 2014, the big conglomerate that owns Cartier and Montblanc, who make watches and pens and fancy shit, they won a case against 5 British internet services in the UK to shut down websites and access to the websites. So that's some
sophisticated
top level shit. Like, we're going to deny you access to, we're just going to cut this off at the pass. Like, we're going to cut the snake off at the head. We're not even going to let you have access to even view these things.
Right.
So good for them.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out, but I guess, like you said, these things are so nefarious. And so.
And also the consumer has to care.
Yeah. And the brand has to be able to do something about it. There's a bunch of brands who can't do shit about it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times we've talked about Dia Prada? We've barely even talked about Dia Prada. If you don't follow Dia Prada on Instagram, you are missing out. Because it is all about people ripping off each other. And
Diet_Prada?
It is.
Guys, stop everything Instagram right now.
You got to go do it right now. Their stories are outstanding. And their posts are excellent.
And also, while you're at it, you should probably follow every outfit on SAT.
Yes. They do more than every outfit on SAT. But Diet Prada, they just do weird. Oh, Fendi did these weird fur belts. And then the next year, oh, weird, Gucci did these weird fur belts that are exactly the same. So sometimes it's just that weird creative mishmash that kind of happens. And some people just come up with ideas at the same time.
Bricolage.
Yes. And then some people don't, or just fully ripping people off.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's shitty knockoffs. Like that Dior skirt that they won't shut up about.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the weird sun, smiley face.
The sun.
It's so good. There was one today that I saw too, and it was, or yesterday, whatever it was. But it was, I forget what brand it was, but it was some skirt that had these cut out kind of, not patchwork, but kind of quilty style thing that had, it was all bright colors, and it had cut out letters that said something love is.
Oh, it was Alice be in love Olivia or something. Or
yes,
what it was.
That's right. Yeah. And
it was a super hippie 60s style. Yeah.
And then the knockoff was All You Need Is Love, which is a Beatles lyric, which you can tell is, if you know anything about the
Beatles,
they're not
going to license that out.
Extremely litigious about,
why
Michael Jackson.
Why you never hear Beatles music anywhere?
Anywhere. Unless Michael Jackson bought it,
because
the estate owns a bunch of it. But in any case, they're extremely litigious about the lyrics and their songs. So that, right away, you can be that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
The other thing I saw that was interesting about how to sort of spot them is the way that, and I think it was, they used Gucci as an example, but the way that their items are, or the locations that their items are made, one thing will be made in one factory in Italy. One thing will be made in a separate factory in China somewhere or whatever. But those two things will only ever be made in those two locations. So if you get a box of something where those two items are together, it's bullshit.
Red flag.
Yeah. I was even just really simple things that you have to know about, obviously.
Or just we never ship this in the packaging.
Yeah.
They're packaged at another location entirely. So if you get a shipment and they're already in the boxes.
Nope.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
Not real.
Or they don't come with the dust bag, or the dust bag is
whatever, or the,
I mean, who the knows? Dust bag is like surged together on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it says Roybon on the side of your sunglasses. that's not the same.
That's, yeah, you want to pay attention to that. So we're in an age where these are easily acquired, these counterfeits, but we're also in an age where the information is also easily available for you to look it up.
Yeah. And if you're worried about something, just look it up. If you want to buy something and you can't afford it, look it up. Look in a vintage store. You know, like there's lots of turnaround sales, or
I'm sure there's a million forums. Go on Reddit. I'm sure there's a million Reddits about it.
Get a sourdough Gucci bag. you know it's fake because make they your don't sourdough make sourdough. Mother.
Yeah. In your Gucci Tupperware.
Oh, sourdough Gucci. That's going to be the new hit thing for 2018.
Mm-hmm. Watch for it, people. Maybe 2019. They got to like make the culture up.
It takes a while to build a starter.
It takes a few weeks.
You heard it here first on Reddit.
Oh, boy. Well, I think we've
barely scratched the surface, really, because this is a massively complex issue, but we do not have the capacity to get it all.
Another part of the fashion industry that's massively complex, and we don't have time to address all in one episode. But we'll come back to it again if you have input or comments or questions.
And be careful if you're buying, if you're spending that much money on something, or if you want something that has a label on it, do some research.
Which is totally fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't feel bad for it.
Don't buy it out of a van. Don't buy it from a guy.
Some weird website.
If there's flags,
don't get it on Craigslist. Oh boy.
There's things on websites that you can double check spellings of things.
One of these things I used to have, actually I might have it outside because I just found a whole bunch of old wallets that I found. It was a Louis Vuitton wallet, but had Burberry lining.
Oh, that's not right.
Nope.
That's interesting.
Bricolage. More bricolage.
It's like a collab. It's like super pomo. Postmodern wallet. It's like a commentary on stuff.
A commentary on consumerism.
It's like, what is luxury?
What is luxury, Eden?
Do you like luxury?
You'll never be glamour.
Yeah, guys, just do better.
Oh, do better.
Always. Yes.
But we know you are.
And you're trying. We're all trying.
Yes, we're all trying. We're in this together.
Just do a little bit of research.
Don't let the mafia have your money.
Yeah, don't give terrorists your money. That's the easiest way to do it.
Don't give ISIS your money. It's just that simple.
ISIS does not want to spend your money wisely.
No.
Should we stop this right here?
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Oh, yes.
Oh, we're back.
Right? That's the song?
Yep.
That's the new song for the sessions, you guys.
Yep. That's our new theme song.
You can download
Love it
at reddit.com. Calm down. Don't get us all sick.
I'm getting too excited.
Don't give us all your open sores.
Oh, God, no.
Gross. Who wants to go first?
I will go.
Go for it.
After I belch into the microphone.
You burp into the microphone.
Go for it. Yeah.
Chew into it, drink into it, burp into
it.
Let's do it.
Have been watching the live stream of the Business of Fashion Voices.
Oh, I've been reading about it.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. They had a really interesting way of dealing with the fur debate.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
They brought on an anti-fur person from the Humane Society of the American Humane Society.
Uh-huh.
And spouted like all this bullshit, all this fake stuff about how animals are like
skinned
abused
alive
and skinned alive and all this. And then the guy
anally
who came on after.
Electrocuted and yada.
The guy who came on after. Poor dude, he only had like an hour's notice get there because the person who was supposed to do it had like
just
a medical emergency
or something. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So he had like no preparation. He just had the slides and just like had to like fumble his way through And I was just like, oh, this is probably not a good day for the fur industry.
They should have called
Alexander Eisenberg.
She can Skype the motherfucker in.
Exactly.
take y'all town.
Oh, she would have been perfect for that.
Oh, man.
But yeah, anyway. It was just like, it was so interesting to me that like, I'm like, I guess like to be seen as balanced, they would have needed to have someone from both sides. But mm-hmm. like, sure. the anti-furf side is still spouting the same shit and of all course. The same lies.
It's worked. It's worked for so long.
Yeah.
Why would you mess it up?
And then all the people in the audience were not having it at all. Like this woman's like, I wear fur and all this stuff. And she's very well educated on like the practices of the fur industry.
Was it in New York?
It was in London.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Brits love their animals though.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm an animal lover. I'm an animal owner. And I know that like this narrative of like the really cute, like
picture of mink, a baby seal or whatever.
Pink,
yeah.
Like the cute picture of a mink or a fox or a baby seal is like what is like put out into the media. But like at the end of the day, like hundreds of millions of cattle are slaughtered every year and are kept in worse conditions.
That's than, an eyelish.
Than animals.
Governments
in the
aren't doing anything
industry.
About that.
Yeah.
So the thing that blows my mind, the hypocrisy of this as an example, is when people get all super uptight about the Canada Goose down jacket, and everyone gets their shit in a twist about the coyote fur trim around the hoods, but no one says word one about the goose down.
About the feathers.
Yeah, how they get all the feathers in there.
Those geese are not alive, you realize, when those feathers were removed.
They didn't voluntarily give them up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
but the coyotes are cute. And they're furry.
Yeah.
And they got little faces and
they're
hands.
Cute.
And people eat
birds. And people eat birds.
Waterfowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No so, problem. You know, it's just all part of the circle of life.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But there was so many other fascinating talks. There was one about the future of like bioengineering and the making of fashion.
Oh, cool.
Making of fabrics. And they've developed this new, they're not even calling it a textile, they're calling it he was trying to explain it in this like really academic and like
technical,
like really intellectual kind of way, and I know he's an engineer and a science person who's speaking to a room of people who are wanting to use this textile for something that's like
sure
not in the way he intends it to be done, but it's called Zoa.
Oh.
And it's like this, it's made in the same process that you'd make like beer. So it's like a culture.
They have to like. Protozoa?
Yeah, yeah. That's like what it's called. Yeah. So, and like metazoa and all that stuff.
Like, I've heard of it being made of like mushrooms and spores and being grown
It's like a fungus kind of thing. But they like grow it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And like they can get it made to replicate leather is like the main one that they want to do. And then you can get it.
That's interesting because it's still like organic theoretically, right? Because it's not like plastic fake leather.
No, and it's biodegradable.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
That's cool.
And it's like all of these amazing things are happening in fashion.
Interesting. And then,
And the one that I loved the most was interviewing the daughter of the owner of Colette and the reason why they decided to close Colette.
Yeah, which is like an iconic store, or was an iconic store in Paris for 30 years, maybe? 20-something years? That carried all the cool brands. It's like the cool shop that everybody cool shopped at. And they closed it all up.
They like kind of helped to invent like the collaboration between like a store and a major brand, because they would like the main thing that they... When they were opening the store, they went around the world and they found the designers, but they couldn't find the product from that designer that would match what they wanted to be selling in Paris. And like,
so
and
they
that's when they started to get like exclusive product just for Colette from all these labels. And that's when they started doing the collaborations. And the main reason why they're citing that they closed it is because the industry has changed so much. And like they were like, why didn't you franchise? Like, why didn't you open one in New York and London and all of these places?
Go online or whatever. Yeah.
And then she was like, that was never what we wanted to do. We wanted to create a destination. And like, it was so much about that building.
And
just me and my mother and like how we ran a very small team and all that stuff. And like that business model like is very difficult to maintain in the way that the business is working now.
And to grow.
The death of retail. Like that's it right there. Yeah.
Well, that's a good. Those are good.
Yeah, and it spanned so many different like topics. There was like health and wellness and beauty, and there was a fascinating talk about from this lady who's a little person, and she's talking about how like they're such an underserved section of the market, and she's like talking about like her average experience like in a retail store. She's like, she gets to the store. The door is usually too heavy, so she can't open it herself. And if there's no button where it opens on itself, she kind of needs to like wait for
somebody
someone
to show
to
up,
open the door, or just not go in.
Right. Ooh.
And then she goes and walks around. She can't reach the clothes. She goes into the fitting room. If she can get into the fitting room, then
she can't use the fitting room.
She can't reach the door to shut the door properly. She can't lock it because the locks are like up higher above the doorknob. Yeah. If it's like a curtain area, then she doesn't have like
the
height to pull it closed all the way. And then she's like, even if she makes it to the till, they can't see her when she's waiting. Like she's, because all of the tills are too high.
Wow.
So she's just like brought in, she's like her whole talk
she's
was
really
centered
breaking
around
it
her
down.
Experience.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And then she talked about how she went to Burberry and she finally like got like all of these like items that she's all wanted her whole life. She wanted like a classic trench coat and they just made one for her custom made.
You're kidding.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because they found out she was doing the talk for this and then they like outfitted her like, and she's, I guess she tweeted she's going to be doing this talk at the Business Fashion Voices conference. And then Berber was like, would you like us to dress you? And then she went to the store and like, did a fitting.
Wow. And so had a whole experience.
Yeah, she shopped in the children's department. She shopped in the women's department. And then like they tailored everything for her.
Wow.
And they made her that trench, like a custom-made
amazing.
Trench.
Amazing.
Smart on Burberry's part.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she was saying like the spending power globally for people with the same, she spoke very like scientifically
and physical
attributes and like this, like the same form of dwarfism.
Oh,
that she has.
There's a couple different variations,
yeah,
right?
She was like talking about like just the people who have that specific type of dwarfism loam. This is like their buying power globally.
Wow.
And like this is like a market that's completely underserved by the fashion industry.
Oh boy. Yeah.
It was fascinating.
Another underserved industry.
Yeah.
Subgroup and oh boy.
Oh yeah, we're doing it, you guys.
We're doing it, guys.
Everybody do better.
Well, that's really cool, and you can go to Business Fashion and read about them.
It's like
look, watch them.
The whole thing is like it's 3 days of like I think like it's like 6 hours a day, so it's like almost 20 hours of conversations.
Sure.
Yeah,
amazing.
And it's all on YouTube.
Cool. That's good.
Excellent.
Abby, what are you obsessed with?
I got a couple things briefly. Fiona the Hippo. From the Cincinnati Zoo.
Love.
If you're not following Fiona the Hippo on Cincinnati Zoo Instagram, you're missing out. She was born premature, so she needed a lot of help at the very beginning. But now she's caught up. She's amazing. She's so cute. Whoever is running their Instagram is on fire.
I wonder how many people are going to Cincinnati Zoo specifically because of that Instagram.
Oh. Thousands.
Oh, yeah.
I bet a shitload.
Thousands.
Her merch sold out online.
What?
Yeah.
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 Fuck.
It's unbelievable.
She is no counterfeit hippo. Let's
oh,
no.
She's a real
legit.
Deal.
Fiona _ hippo. There was a thing. Where did I see it today? Maybe it was on it was on Facebook. It was like person of the year, but it was Fiona. The Time magazine person of the year, but it was Fiona. Oh, and she's like floating around in the water. And there's one where she farts in the water and there's little bubbles coming out. Oh my God. She's adorable. She's great. Fiona the hippo. And my second obsession I owe to Mr. Evan Ducharme, who shared the Sailor J videos on Instagram. No, YouTube. I don't know much. I tried to Google some information about her, but I couldn't find her. Like, I don't even know where she lives. But she's this young woman who has the most hilarious YouTube videos. And some of them are her just talking. Some of them are her doing makeup tutorials. And like she edits them all together. So she's talking to herself in all these different voices. And it's. And she does this weird like voice affectation where she talks real posh. And then she goes back to like just being herself. And the Thanksgiving one was the one that you showed.
Yeah.
Showed us where she makes fun of white people making quote like Indian makeup.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I caught that up. Girl, I'm caught up now.
You're
I
here. Get
it. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here now. I'm on the train. I'm
she is whip smart, so funny, no shame. Like, there was, yeah, the Thanksgiving one was great. There was one about contouring.
The contouring one is my favorite. So,
how do, she like gets a bunch of contour, but she always talks about how broke she is. She's like, I only have 3 makeup brushes, and this is the cheapest shit I could get. So, and then she also has this angle about, like, there's this one called Getting a Man, and she just talks about, it's her putting her face on, about why women wear makeup to trick men, and we must always wear makeup, because if the men find out that we've been lying to them, it's all over. We will not be able to get a man. What do you mean you weren't born with golden eyelids? So it's got this awesome, like, feminist, like, slant on it. It's so funny. Yeah.
What is it called?
Sailor J is her name. And it's like XXJJ_Smith_XX or something. And she's on Twitter and stuff. She's awesome on Twitter, too. But, oh, man. And some of her videos are like 2 minutes and some are like 9 minutes. And, yes, she slays. She does a really good job. I was watching. Today alone, I probably watched at least 45 minutes while the kids were occupied. I think Poppy was sleeping and Margo was iPadding. I was like, and I'm like, I'm doing research for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Just watching what you're saying.
Yeah.
My favorite one is she's like, if the men find out we can reconfigure our bone structure, they're going to tell the priest.
Oh, there was another one about just saying no. Like, she was talking, like, so this tattoo artist kept asking her out. And then she said no. And she was trying to, like, dodge the, like, I'm busy, I got pancreatitis or whatever. Like, she was trying to, like, not actually come out and say no. So then, like, the guy thought that she was, like, stringing him along. And then the guy said, you will not be served at our tattoo parlor anymore because you're a problem customer, because she wouldn't go on a fucking date with him. So
cool.
Awesome. So she made a whole video about, I should have just said no. Like, I should have just straight up said no. So this is me practicing different ways to say no. No, no, fuck no, fuck to the no. And she's like, it's all edited. She's got a hat on and she's holding the book and she's wearing, like, she's, oh, it's so great. And it's just all these different ways to say no to a guy.
I like it. No is a complete sentence.
Yes, absolutely.
There is a very amazing Oprah, like, gif about that. She does, like, the Oprah hand where it's like finger and thumb together and the rest of the fingers are up and fanned out.
Mm.
And it's like the okay sign, but she words does to it to by. Enunciate the words. It's like poop, poop, poop.
That was from her
life class.
Her life class with the guy who wrote The Gift of Fear.
Oh,
I talked about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
No is a complete sentence. It's like, that was in the air. Fuck she's yeah.
Like, it's like, that's a tweetable moment.
Yeah.
That's an aha moment.
Okay. Are you?
Yeah, we're good.
We're good. You don't have any more?
No, that's it.
Just hiding Sailor in
Sailor J and Baby Hippo. I'm over it. Also, Sailor J is obsessed with Sailor Moon, which I also really enjoy.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, it fits. It's on brand.
It tracks.
Yeah. Moon, prism, power.
Someone else likes Sailor Moon. But that's just an underlying constant obsession. I mean, that's not going away.
That's just
part of the threat.
Now and forever. I feel like we've talked about how Sailor Moon is a constant obsession.
I believe we have.
Previously.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, my obsession is, I already told Abby about it because I was so excited about it. Last weekend, I went to the East Side Flea, which is, again, we've talked about it a couple times. And there was a booth there by this little company called, it's pronounced Cowichan Made. It's spelled, it's not anglicized the way that it's spelled. So it's Quw'Utsun'. And it's this girl from Duncan, BC, just outside of Duncan in the Cowichan Valley. And Cowichan as the name of the people,
the
of
nation.
Her tribe.
Yeah.
And she started this, basically this natural beauty products company, which I generally don't give a shit about beauty products. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You're not interested. I got my I got the Cetaphil that I always get.
Oh, I got the face wash, I got the mascara.
The Dr. Bonner's, you know, do it all scrub situation. And I have
a lip balm.
And I have a lip balm. And I have an Aveda shampoo. Like, I don't give a shit about this. But I don't have a nice fragrance, and I've been thinking about getting a nice new fragrance. She has the most amazing. Four fragrances. You can get a little set of four of them. They're called, I'm going to mispronounce one of them, I know. One is the Weaver, one is the Beater, one is the Carver, and one is the Cinqua, which I'm sure I'm pronouncing incorrectly. It's T-Z-I-N-Q-U-A-W. I think I have it on my phone. But in any case, these fragrances are so fucking nice. They're like, it's all natural made. It's all made by hand in North Vancouver. It's all locally sourced. Actually, I don't know if it's all locally sourced. I think it is. But it's all locally made by her based on this philosophy of like connecting yourself back with nature and botanicals. Mm. And
yeah.
They're like not gendered. There's no like male fragrances and female fragrances. There's like sort of a spectrum of like, these ones are a little more kind like of flowery, masculine and feminine-ish. I think I got the one that was like, not the farthest feminine, but one in.
Yeah.
So it's not, and it's still like not super feminine-y. Mm. It's not like
super flowery or whatever.
No, it's not super flowery. It's like really kind of like cedar and it smells nice. I like catch myself like,
I caught you at work huffing on your own shirt.
It smells so great. And I was super happy to throw a bunch of money at her and at this business. She comes from a family of weavers. And I thought it was appropriate that the one that I liked the best was Weaver, was like the textile one.
Yeah.
But they smell so good. And there was like a 50 ml bottle was like $50. It was like nothing. It was completely affordable. Yeah, it was crazy. And so I was really happy to throw some money her way. Tell me how to pronounce that, because I don't know if I know how to do it properly. I'm sure I don't.
I think it's Cinqua.
Okay, that's what I thought. Anyway, go and check her out. We'll put a link on the blog. The
packaging is gorgeous.
Her little logo is the first pattern that her grandmother taught her how to weave or how to knit. I know. I knew you'd love it, Evan. And it's so like...
You got a lip gloss or a lip balm?
I got a little natural peppermint lip balm. And a nice little
container.
So nice. And
beautiful.
It's like not... It's not a typical kind of fragrance. It's really unique, but really... I was super
understated.
It's so, so, so nice. Smells fresh. Like, smells like you're like being outside, you know? It's sort of hard to...
Not from a weird chemical factory?
Yeah, totally. And it's not from a weird chemical factory. It's like made by this girl in North Vancouver out of these natural ingredients. And this is probably the only time you're ever going to hear me talking about beauty products, but she's got a whole bunch of them. She's got this deodorants. She's got deodorant spray. She's got candles. She's got these oil roll-on things. She's got hand creams. It's gorgeous. And it smells so fucking good. Go and check it out.
Amazing.
Yeah, her stuff is amazing. I can't remember what her name is, but I'll put a link on the blog. But it was the best. I couldn't shut up about it. I had to tell you about it last week. I was like, Abby, smell me. Like, I'll catch a whiff. And I'm like, to Chris, I'm like, what do I smell like? Smells really good.
Nice.
It's really, really nice. And like, insanely affordable. I couldn't believe it was only $50 for that little bottle. I was like,
Champagne can be, champagne can be expensive. Perfume can be really expensive.
It can be really expensive. The whole licensing thing, we all know that. That's where they make all the money.
And it's not nice essential oils and shit. It's fucking chemicals.
And it's not, I think it was, she was like the first and only First Nations artist making fragrances. Like in, at least in BC, if maybe not Canada, Western if Canada, not the world, they weren't totally sure of the scope of, of this claim. Because
interesting.
There's not that many people doing it. But First Nations made, owned, operated, produced fragrances. So fucking dope.
Awesome.
Smells so good. I keep rolling it all over myself. I'm like, how much do I smell? Yeah. Is it too much? Okay, I'll throw it down. Yeah, so that's my obsession. It's really, really nice. If I had a smellogram, I would
that's smell it. Out.
Everybody give your iPad a big old
get on up in it.
And see if it worked. Did it work? Can you smell it?
2017. Technology.
We'll get there.
Come on.
We'll get there. Anyway.
Oh boy.
Is that it?
I think that's it for us this week.
Yeah, probably.
Hit us up with any information or questions or anything, please. We love it.
We love that shit.
Yeah. You can find us on all the channels. Or the good, the important ones anyway.
ABC, the main NBC, ones. NBC, MSNBC, yeah.
HGTV. Yes, we're all over.
We're not on Fox News, but we do absolutely not want to be on Fox News.
That's no. fine with us. No. That is fine.
They asked, we declined.
Yeah. We said, fuck no.
We were supposed to be on Time. Was it the fucking drum set? I was supposed to be on Time magazine, but then I declined because I wanted to do like a photo shoot or something.
Anyway, we're waiting for that callback.
Yeah.
So
awesome. Well, Fashion Hags at Gmail, Fashion Hags Pod, Fashion Hags Pod on
Twitter,
Fashion Hags Podcast on Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, find us on the old Facebook.
And we love it.
Tell us how you like us. And then go on iTunes and tell us how great we are.
Great. Review, subscribe.
And remember, we love you guys.
But we love fashion more.
Goodbye.
Bye. Fashion. Fashion. Hey.